All right. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 29 after the kids dismiss. I meant to say that. Psalm 29, it's a short psalm, powerful psalm. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in His temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. Don't you love that psalm? Love that psalm. Yeah, you know, I was thinking for the last couple weeks, right? Because we had some cancellation. But back when there were landlines, do you remember those? How many remember those? Some of you may still have them, a landline. To this day, I want mind you, to this day, at the bottom of the landing of our basement, there's a large wall-mounted, rotary-dialed red phone. We dubbed it the Bat Phone. In fact, I made a sign, and I taped it on it. It's still there. I believe it's still there. Probably been on there for 10 years or more, maybe longer. That's the Bat Phone. And for those of you that can remember landlines, you didn't know who was calling you. So you had to answer the phone every single time, right? You remember that? How many remember this, right? All the time you had to answer the phone. And I don't know about you, but I regularly would have this conversation when I answered the phone at my house with the rotary dial phone, landline phone. Is this Dominic? No. Oh, Andrew, I didn't recognize your voice. No. This is Bruce. Oh my, you guys all sound alike on the phone. It's hard to tell you apart. I'm like, really? I sound like my 12-year-old son, or I, you know, or whatever. And but this conversation happened all the time. Is this Dominic? No. Is this Andrew? No. There's only one other male in the house, right? This is Bruce. Or this is Bruce. So, you know, I was thinking about, because we've been talking about listening to God, right? And there seems that this theme is continuing to press upon me, and so I've decided to press it on you, okay? Just to press a little deeper, press in a little deeper. Hearing God speak to us in a better way. And did you know that God's voice is distinct? That there are specific ways that you can recognize if He's speaking to you? And this is the topic that so many Christians, they wonder about. How can I know God's voice? Do you wonder about it? How can I know it's God speaking to me? How can I know that those words and thoughts that I have actually come from God? How can I be sure it is God who causes me to think in a different way, in a certain way? How can I be certain it's God who causes me to act in a certain way, to speak a particular a word of encouragement to myself or to other people? How do I know it's God? This is what we're going to explore today. How can I know God's voice? How many are excited? if you're not, just look like it. Let's pray. God, we definitely need to hear your voice. And King David seemed to think that your voice was powerful, that your voice just shakes things to the core. And God, it's a dangerous prayer, but God, would you come with your voice and shake us to the core? Speak some things to us that you've not spoken before. Speak in ways that we are clear and we know that it's your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the primary ways that you can recognize God's voice is the effect that it produces within you. And so that's what we're going to operate from this morning. Whether it's God's written word, the scriptures, or whether it's the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart in personal ways, there are a number of things that take place within our hearts. There's an effect that takes place when we hear the Lord, when we hear God's voice speaking to us. I want to offer several of those heart changes to all of us today so we can know better, haha, this might be God talking to me. This might be Him encouraging me. And so this is good information. This is good stuff to know, right, as we're just walking day to day with God in our relationship with Him. The first thing is this. God's voice, I know some of you are note takers, will bring you encouragement. God's voice will bring you encouragement. There's a book written by Peter Lord. It's called Hearing God. It's a great book. Pulled it off the shelf. Haven't read it for quite some time. But he says that 90% of what God says to you and me is encouragement. How many believe that? 90% of what God says to you and me is in the realm of encouragement. And that could be for a very important reason, I believe. You see, the major tactic of the enemy is to bring you discouragement. How many know we have a formidable enemy in the world still? God of this world, little g, Satan, the devil, whatever you want to name him. And I think we need to be reminded of this, that discouragement never comes from God. Just turn to somebody and say that. Discouragement never comes from God. In fact, there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians, one of my favorite scriptures. Someone asked me that the other day, what's one of your favorite scriptures? I told him 2 Peter. I'd forgotten about 2 Corinthians 1, but 2 Peter 1's a great passage of scripture. But 2 Corinthians 1 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God." Right? So God pours it out to us, right? We in turn pour it right back into others, right? That's the way God intends it to work. But here's the thing. Paul uses a word that means more than comfort in the scripture. He actually uses a word that says God is a God who strengthens. God is a God who builds up. God is a God who encourages us in life. Have you ever been encouraged by God? Have you ever been built up by God? Have you ever been strengthened by God? That's exactly what that scripture is talking about. Now, encouragement comes in so many different forms. It may come through a scripture. Most times it comes through a scripture. And I know a lot of you have had this experience. You're going through a certain set of circumstances, and there's a scripture in your memory bank. You've read it before. You recalled it. Maybe you even memorized it before. And God calls you to, and prompts you to recall that scripture in your circumstances to encourage your heart, to encourage your mind. How many have ever had that happen? Right? Yeah. It may be a new scripture. You're walking through life and you're reading the Bible, which I hope you do, right? And there's a new scripture you've never noticed before, and you're like, whoa, this is so encouraging to me. How many have had that experience? Or it just could be a word for the moment. You know, the Holy Spirit prompts you to look at a situation from His point of view, from God's point of view. And so, however the words come, God encourages us to keep on keeping on. That's what God always is saying to you. Keep moving forward. One foot in front of the other. One foot full of faith. One step of faith. Next step of faith. Next step. He's always keeping us moving forward. And He spurs us to take that next step of faith and to trust in Him so that we can say, God is the God who encourages. Amen? And so, He speaks to us, and when He speaks to us, we're encouraged. We feel ourselves being strengthened and encouraged, and maybe even have courage, you know, to keep moving forward in our lives. Now, the enemy always attacks you with discouragement. How many have felt it? Yeah. It's one of his major weapons. He's constantly seeking to get you to stop what you're doing in terms of faith, in terms of your relationship with God. He's always trying to get you to stop what you're doing, or to get you to do that, to do your spiritual life in a half-hearted way. That's his tactic, right? And he's trying to do that, and he wants to discourage us. And so what does he do? He points to our past experiences, right? All the time. Look what you did back then. Do you remember that, what you did back then? You remember how you were? You remember your life back then? You're not worthy of God's love, you know? And so he points to our past experience. How many have felt kind of, you feel that condemnation from the enemy? You find yourself going back instead of forward. Or he distorts present appearances. He makes things seem worse than they really are. Or he'll remind you of the time that we lapsed. Or that, you know, we lapsed. We fell back. We fell away from God. You know, he's good about showing us a full-color movie of our past failures. That's what the enemy does. Discourage. And I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of failures. How many have your own set? How many have your own movie? Full color movie of failures. And all you got to do is just put that reel on, press the button, and start playing that thing in your mind. And I'll tell you exactly where it takes you. Down into a pit of discouragement. Right down. And you will be discouraged about your life. And that's what the enemy does. And so beware. We need to be aware of Satan's discouragement tactics. But more importantly, we need to be alert to God's voice. Because it will always comfort. It will always uplift the words of God. The voice of God. It will always encourage you to love Him more, encourage you to trust Him better, encourage you to follow Him with greater passion and with greater intensity. God will never say to us, let up. God will never say to that us those words, let up. God's not going to do that. He's not going to say, let up. He will always say to us, press on. Dig deeper. Push forward. Those will always be the word. If you hear those words, those are from the Lord. Press forward. Press on. Dig deeper. And so God's voice will come and bring this effect of encouragement in our lives. How many have felt that? You really say, I really think God is, you know, speaking to me and He's encouraging me. Yeah. That's one of the ways. And we, it's because, and I'm doing this for a reason, because a lot of times we're thinking, oh, I never hear from God. Well, it's not true. It's not true at all. There's so many different ways that God speaks to us. And so let me share with you a second one. Secondly, you can know that God's speaking to you when you have an unexplainable peace about something in your life. Huh? God's voice will bring us peace. God's voice will bring us peace. What God says to us will never cause us to worry or fret. In fact, God says to us, do not worry. You remember, it says it a few times, right? Do not worry. When he speaks to our souls, his aim is to always calm our mind and our soul. So a sure sign that you have heard from God is the peace that you feel in the midst of some trying situation. We all have them. It's the peace that you feel. And you may recall this scripture. I was reminded of it in Philippians 4. It's a pretty common scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let the gentleness be your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Wow. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God actually commands us not to worry and then gives us a positive solution to worry. Right? He says, don't worry. Here's what you should do. Right? Don't worry. Pray with a grateful heart. And I'll bring you peace on the backside of that transcends your understanding. You won't even understand why you're so peaceful, right? When your life's so rocky right now, and nor will those around you be able to understand why you're so calm and at peace. And it's because God is speaking to you, and the evidence of that is that you're at peace. That you're at peace. So we can actually maintain a calm assurance in impossible circumstances. We can do that with the help of the Lord, and demonstrate an unexplainable rest in the midst of our personal chaos. So remember, I want you to remember this. Remember, any and every thought of worry and fear comes not from the Lord, but from the enemy. Hello? But the unexplainable peace of God in your heart is a sure sign that you have heard from him. You're at peace. You're not freaking out, right? You're at rest knowing that God is in control. God is with you. His presence is with you. He's providing you strength to get through whatever you're going through. He's giving you courage. He'll give you faith. He'll give you hope. He'll give you all the things that you need. And so don't worry. You can be at peace. You can be at rest. Be still, right? And give God an opportunity to demonstrate himself as God. And how, boy, if we only learn that lesson, to just be still and to let him be God in our lives. Amen? Thank you, Joe. Now, you're going to feel pushback and resist, so I want you to purposely lean into what I'm about to say. All right? I'm going to give you a third way that you can know that God's speaking to you. God's voice will bring you a sympathetic understanding of other people. Ha! Are you kidding? You can know God is speaking to you about others because of the new attitude of understanding that you have toward them and the actions that you want to take toward them. God might be speaking to you. Now, I don't know about you, but it's the case with me that often God wants me to love those who have a personality that rubs me the wrong way. You with me? God wants me to actively love those who irritate me like fingernails on a blackboard. Do you have those people? Don't answer that. I might be one of them. Yeah, I don't know. In other words, God often says, love and show kindness to those you don't enjoy being around. Now, how many know it's easy to love and be kind and show mercy to those we enjoy being around? There's no big super feat in that. That's not hard to pull off. I like you. I can be kind to you. I can do loving things, you know, on your behalf. I can speak well to you. I can encourage you. That's no big deal, right? But, you know, some people, maybe some in this room, have this thought that the world would be a much better place without all the people around. Maybe. There's some of you like that. That people just make you shudder, right? They're just like, ugh. You know, I'd be okay if I just, the people, right? But it's a good indication that God is speaking to you directly when you begin to want to love them. Huh? When you feel compassion for other people, when you want to be with the person's like, when you want to extend mercy to them, you want to forgive them, you want to be a blessing to them, when you find yourself praying for them, expressing love to them with words of encouragement, you're hearing God's voice. You're hearing His voice. He's speaking to you. Now, in Exodus 34, we find Moses chiseling a second set of commandments on stone tablets. Some of you think you know where I'm going with this. It didn't go well the first time, if you've read the story, right? So God says, let's try it again. And honestly, you know, when you read the Old Testament, it's a wonder there are any people at all on the earth. Because none of us would extend. You know, we always think God, the God of the Old Testament, is like the God of justice and the God of wrath. But none of us would extend as much grace and second chances as God did to the people of Israel in the Old Testament. We would have said, nope, done. Right? You know, I made... Anyway, Moses, he chisels these Ten Commandments out again. He had to take a long time. I think about some of these things sometimes. We're chiseling in stone the Ten Commandments. You know, hopefully they have shorthand Hebrew. Right? But this is what the scripture says in Exodus 34. It says this. Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones, because he writes big. No, just kidding. And he went up to Mount Sinai early in the morning, as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. And then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him, with Moses, and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And this is what he said. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. That's a long name. That was his name. Do you get it? Do you understand what's happening here? You see it? Within his name, It's his character. He was not just giving his name. He was describing who he is and his character and how he relates to humanity, to humans. And God, his disposition towards people, those he made, is always compassionate, gracious, patient, loving, forgiving. And when God speaks to you about others, he will cause you, I don't know why I pointed me, right? But when he causes you to think about others, he will cause you to relate to them in ways that he would relate to them. Because I know how we would relate to him, some people. Because we'll give him one chance, and after that, we'll write them off. Or we'll say, I'll never forgive them. Extend them grace, a second chance. I'm not going to give them a second chance. So when God speaks to you about others, he will cause you to relate to people in the same ways that he would relate to them. In contrast, listen, the enemy moves in against us, and he brings attacks on your mind that are aimed at contradicting what God has told you to do in relating to other people. And I'll give you an example. The enemy puts thoughts in your minds that causes you to judge someone. But the scripture says in Romans 14, you then, why do you judge your brother? Why do you look down on your brother? For we all will stand before God's judgment seat. It's written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, that every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. God says, why do you look down on others, on humans? The enemy says, go ahead. Go ahead. Judge them. Look down on them. See, we have a set of biases, don't we? We have a set of preferences that we use to look down on other people. You say, no, I don't do that. Yes, you do. You have a set of biases, you have a set of preferences, and we use those almost innately to look down on other people. The enemy knows that. He tries to exploit those biases, and he prompts us to judge and to look down on other people. Give us some good news, preacher. The enemy puts thoughts in our mind that causes us to speak poorly of someone. James warns us in chapter 4, do not slander one another. So we know how God wants us to relate to another person when we use our words, don't we? The enemy comes in and says, go ahead, let it fly, right? Just let it rip. The enemy will put thoughts in your mind to cause you to carry a grudge against someone. Now I'm meddling, right? But James chapter 5, verse 9 says, don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. But it literally says, grudge not against one another. That's what it says. Grudge not against one another. When we're listening to God, we will hear him say, try to make peace with others. Now you have to have a willing party, right, too? So sometimes peace can't be made. Reconciliation or peace can't be made if you don't have a willing party. But he will always say, try to make peace with others. When we're listening to God, we will surprise ourselves because we will have compassion for other people that would normally grate us. We'll lean forward to forgive them. We'll lean forward to bless them. We'll lean forward to pray for them. That's how we know we're really hearing the word of the Lord. We're hearing God's voice. Moving forward, let me ask you a question. When you think you're hearing God speak to you, do you hear a loving Father who forgives and has a real interest in you? Or do you hear a demanding parent who's always expecting you to measure up to higher and higher expectations? When you pray, do you picture God as a loving, accepting Father? Or do you feel condemned when you pray and never able to live up to God's expectations? You see, even on a natural plane, we need to think about this if we're raising children or if we're have an influencing role in grandchildren. What do our children experience when they approach us? What do they experience when they approach us? Is it acceptance or is it disappointment or condemnation or hopelessness? Or do they walk away thinking there's no point in trying to please them because they can never be pleased? What effect do you have on your children, your grandchildren? You see, my point is this, is that the enemy's attack always centers on hopelessness, but God's voice will always bring you hope. Hope. And hope is this expectation of good things, right? It's the favorable and sure expectation of something positive going to happen or happening. It has to do with the unseen future, right, of our lives. The opposite of hope is obviously hopelessness, having no expectation of anything good happening or success happening, but actually being despairing or despondent. And if you're feeling those kinds of feelings, I want you to know that those feelings are not from God. Hopelessness, despair, despondency, discouragement. The inability to see anything good happening in the present or in the future. That's not from God. In fact, what accompanies hope, the hope that God gives is joy and peace. Romans 15:13 said it, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Catch that? May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When God speaks to you and me, it will be inspiring words to remain faithful and to keep serving Him and to keep serving His church all the time. Remain faithful. In fact, he says in 1 Thessalonians 1, he says, we continually remember before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's words to us are always, don't drop back. Don't drop back. Don't drop out. Don't drop by occasionally, right? Don't drop down into despair, but be faithful. God's words are always, always, always be faithful. And my loving arms are open and wide. And I embrace you with my love and acceptance. I will never turn you away. God says, I won't turn you away. How many believe that? Do you believe that? Do we believe it? God says to you, I will never turn you away. I won't. I won't turn you away. Now, by way of contrast, the enemy's tactic is to put thoughts in our mind that cause us to feel hopeless. And some of us, we fall into that. We fall and prey to it. Hopeless and discouraged. And this is how you know that you're getting some darts, right? You're getting some fiery darts from the enemy. And he's aimed them at you, and he's shot them at you. When you hear things like this, it'll never work out. You know that one? Nothing good's ever going to happen. It's no use. It'll never change. They'll never change. I'll never change. It will never change. It won't do any good. It won't do any good. Why bother? It won't do any good. Nothing will make a difference here. Those are the kinds of things that the enemy wants to plant in our hearts and make them grow to keep us in a place of hopelessness and discouragement. But we can stand on the Word of God. And the message of hope that he speaks to us, we can stand on that message of hope. How many? Yes, Lord. All right? And we can say to the enemy, it's God who makes the difference in my life, not you. God makes all the difference in my life. God continues to make all the difference in my life. Amen? And we can do that. And stand against the enemy and stand against that hopelessness and receive the words of hope from God. Receive the word of faithfulness from God. Receive the word of courage from God. Receive the word of perseverance and endurance from God. We're just keeping on. And Satan, you can take a hike because I'm heading forward. I'm moving forward. Amen? Now, one more. And if it's helped you, tell somebody. This is pretty good. One sign that you have heard God's voice is that faith rises in your heart. You believe in spite of your senses or your perceptions. God is the one who initiates our faith. How many believe that? And sustains our faith. The scripture says it, Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's say that together. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter or the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God is the author of our faith. God is the sustainer of our faith. God not only got the whole ball rolling with us in terms of our relationship with God, but he sustains us and he gives us and he imparts to us faith. And the enemy's tactic is to plant thoughts of doubt and unbelief and suspicion and anxiety and skepticism. And Satan wants you to listen to him and to depend upon your feelings. Not that we're dismissing our feelings. Feelings are not to be ignored, not to be dismissed. Feelings are, but almost all the time, feelings distort reality. Or at least they can a majority of the time. Do you believe that? They distort reality. And if our feelings are allowed to be the predominant influence of our lives, we will lead ourselves right into disobedience. We'll lead ourselves right out of the faith if we depend upon our feelings. We simply cannot allow the phrase, "I don't feel like it," to dictate our lives and our faith. We can't do it. We're in trouble if we do that. If we say, if that's our go-to, I don't feel like it. We're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because this is why. I'm almost finished. When we let that phrase take root in our lives and become the driving force in our lives, we will find ourselves saying things like, well, I don't feel like worshiping God this Sunday. I don't feel like serving. I don't feel like financially contributing to the church. So I guess I won't do it. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like being kind to my husband or wife, right? I don't feel like being kind to my friend. I don't feel like forgiving so-and-so. I don't feel like reading the Bible. I don't feel like being married anymore. I feel like having an affair. I don't feel like curbing my appetites and desires. I feel like eating a half a gallon of ice cream and drinking a six-pack. That's what I feel like. Maybe all at the same time. Depending on the flavor. I don't feel like God cares. There's one. I don't feel like God will answer my prayers, so I won't. Do you hear that? So if we let that dictate our lives, we won't do anything. We won't get anywhere in our Christian life. We won't be effective at all in this world. You know, there's a whole lot, a commercial line of merchandise that's centered around the phrase, I don't feel like adulting today. Do you know that? You could buy buttons and pens and pencils and mugs and glasses and shirts, hats, and I don't feel like adulting today. There's a whole generation of people succumbing to the tactic of the enemy, Satan, to live according to their feelings, particularly the feelings of apathy. I don't feel like it. But before you point your finger at millennials or whatever generation's coming up behind them, generation double Z, I don't know. Before you point your finger at them, younger generations, we let our feelings dictate our lives way too much, don't we? And cause a lack of commitment, a lack of integrity, an apathy toward God, and apathy toward the church. We do it, whatever generation you're a part of. I know there's several here, right? Let me finish. I said that once, didn't I? When the Father speaks and we listen and accept what He says, we will find faith rising up in our hearts. And the words of God to us will always create an attitude that says, God, I'm going to obey you regardless of what comes at me. His words to us are always, dig a little deeper and believe who I am. Believe that I can reward you as you diligently seek me. Believe that I inspired the written word that I gave you. Believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, that Jesus died. Believe that Jesus rose. Believe that Jesus is coming again. Amen? And believe that by believing, we can enter into His eternal heavenly kingdom. Believe that the church holds the light and the truth of the gospel of Jesus to a dark world. God's words to us, His voice to us, will always cause us to believe in the whole message. The whole message. The whole message of the gospel. the whole entire kit and caboodle, the whole thing. And faith will rise up in our hearts. And you know, when you're standing in faith, standing and believing, I believe this stuff. When you feel yourself saying, I believe Jesus came to earth, born of a virgin. Right? I believe he performed those. I believe he died on the cross and rose again. I believe faith is just going to rise within our hearts. And if faith rises when we make those proclamations, right, of the truths of the gospel, what else can we have faith proclamations for? I believe you're going to turn this around in my life. I believe, God, that you're going to provide for me. I believe, God, that you're going to heal my marriage. I believe, God, that you're going to bring back my child who's wayward. I believe, God, that you're going to save them. I believe, God, that you're going to fill this place with people, God, who've come to know Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah, amen. So let's stand together. Let's just stand. I haven't preached in 2 weeks, you might have noticed. I'm due. God, we want to hear you. We just don't want to walk through life and aimlessly. We want your voice to direct us and guide us and lead us and speak to us and change us and transform us. And God, we want to know you. When you say that, you too. So, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes, spiritual eyes and hearts and ears to know when you're speaking to us, Lord. And we would embrace your words to us, allowing it to do whatever you intend to do in our lives. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We hear your words to us. Press on. Dig deeper. Move forward. Rise up with faith. So God, we just open our hearts and hands and we just say, God, just come and continue to speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. Today, this week, you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If this morning you need God to speak to you specifically about a situation in your life and you'd like somebody to pray with you, I just invite you just to come up to the communion tables and we can have somebody just pray with you about a situation that you have in your life. But if not, lean in to hear what God's saying to you. Amen. Be blessed. Thanks for coming out on a snowy day.